world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, kind of got my battle gear on this morning. I got my Tom Dunn shirt, No More Dead Babies. Thanks, Tom, for doing that. Yeah, three of my signs got stolen out of the yard. No More Dead Babies. Folks, let me just stop right there. I just heard from the Holy Spirit there. Is there anybody in this queue? Any clear thinking doctor even in this queue, any medical expert, any scientist, anybody with a functioning brain, is there anybody here that doesn't think an unborn baby is alive? Huh? Is there anybody? I mean, really, what if the heart stops beating in a young child, what happens to it? Why, it dies. It's dead if its heart's dead. So if a child has a beating heart, would it be alive? Now, hang on a minute. Life had a beginning. All life had a beginning. We know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Earth is void and without form, darkness upon the face. God said, let there be light, and light and life appeared. So life has been a continuum. And I'm sitting here right now. Do you have any idea the consequence? That's not the right word. Do you have any idea the obstacles that human history overcame for me to be here today? My mom, my dad, their mom, their dad, their mom, their dad. The astronomical odds that Coach Dave Dobenmeyer would be created and be here as I am is so astronomical. None of the computers in the world could do the odds of my mom and dad getting together and creating me. It's so beyond what they would call natural selection or whatever. So what has happened to us? We're in a mess we are in because I wish I had that book here. We love lies. We love lies. We don't love the truth, friends, because the truth is very, very confrontational. And we don't like it. Somebody wrote a book one time, I think it was called Confrontational Politics. I want to write a book, Confrontational Christianity. Do you realize this, friends, that when you speak the truth, it's confrontational to many of the people that you come in contact with? It's confrontational. All of us sitting here right now, if we could get before a real judge, a real honest judge, whoever that would be, a real honest jury, whoever that would be, do you think that we could present evidence that a baby is a live human being? Could anybody out there deny that an unborn child is a live human being? Can anybody do that? I mean, come on. If we're talking about science, right? We're talking about science. So the question is not whether or not the baby is alive. The baby is murder okay? Is it okay to murder? That's the debate. Folks, come on. That's the debate. Do I have the right to bully a little unborn baby? Big, strong, powerful people picking on little, helpless people. That's all abortion is. And it's amazing to me that the left goes on and on and on about bullying and equal rights and, well, you can't be mean to the homos. And they want to murder little innocent babies. And we can't even, with all the science in the world, we can't even get that truth on the table. That is a living human being. Oh, no, it's not sentient. Sentient. Coach, that baby's not sentient. What does that mean? Not sentient. What, can't think? I got 10 grandkids. They have to have an adult with them all. Yeah, put Cynthia up there. They have to have an adult with them all the time. My 10 grandkids. They're alive. They're alive, and I can't trust them to be alone. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Huh? I can't just put my 10 grandkids out there and say, yeah, go out there, have fun, see you here, or see you in 7 hours. Are you kidding me? They don't have the brain to be able to. But see, we don't apply that to the preborn. The preborn at some point. Right now, they need a little bit more attention than the five-year-old. And they don't need... The 5-year-old needs a little bit more attention than the 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old needs a little bit more attention than the 18-year-old. And the 18-year-old needs a little bit more attention than the 50-year-old. Do you understand? So we in the American society cannot even come to an honest truth that is a human being. We can't even agree on that. Because the debate isn't about whether or not it's a human being. Although they make it about that. That's not the debate. The debate is whether I can kill it. Is it okay to murder it? That's it. Can I kill them? You know, my grandkids helped me stuff my newsletter yesterday. Michelle and I was talking about the stress involved with this as we're putting our newsletter together, getting ready to mail out. And I got them. So when you get your newsletter, know that a little 5-year-old helped put that thing together for me, right? So the envelope isn't totally sealed and all that. I understand what's going on in the Dobbenmeyer house yesterday as we're getting the newsletter out. And I told Michelle today, I was griping and moaning a little bit. I said, God, I could have used some help. I got all these grandkids stuff and they don't know whether to lick it. They don't know whether to put it in backwards. I got to watch every move they make. Well, of course I do. They're 10 years old, 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds. I wouldn't expect that from 18-year-olds, right? The older you get, the better you are at following rules and doing what's right and wrong. But isn't it amazing that in America, the older you get, the more you look for reasons not to do what's right and wrong? Isn't it amazing? If we put a bunch of little one of that, maybe two, if we put a little bunch of 5-year-olds and ask them about whether or not an unborn baby ought to be able to live, I bet it'd be about 100%. Wouldn't you think? It's only when you get older and smarter and you get your own agenda that you want to murder people. And then we want to, so the sexual revolution came in. And people went from women in particular went from being modest and virgin to sleeping around like alley cats. Why'd they sleep around like alley cats? Because there was no longer any fear of getting pregnant. They had this thing called a pill. Stop it a minute. I'm not letting men off the hook. Men are supposed to be moral too. But the pill brought it in. That feels good, do it. And everybody, it felt good and everybody did it. And then all of a sudden people start getting pregnant. Oh my God, I can't have that. Huh? I had that fun. That sex was fun. It was fun. And now I got a kid. Oh, can't have that. And somebody somewhere say, yeah, that's right, man. Ain't no consequences to your baby, to your behavior. Ain't no consequences. Murder it, man. Go ahead and murder. Hey, listen, we won't murder it. We'll call it choice. We'll just call it choice. And then we'll dehumanize it. See, we'll say, listen, it's not really a human being yet. It's not really a human being. And we say, well, when does it become a human being? They say, oh, well, when it's born, then it becomes a human being. Except now they're allowed to have post-birth abortions. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? And why is that? Because the church has dropped the standard of right and wrong. We've dropped the standard of right and wrong. And so we see some of these Supreme Court decisions that are coming down. You would think somebody name a, you don't have to, a huge religious organization, the Southern Baptist, the Pentecostal USA, one of these denominations. Wouldn't you think right now, after they saw what happened, the posting of the Ten Commandments in Louisiana, wouldn't you think all of them would all of a sudden be out, boom, let's do it everywhere? Ain't happening. No. We can't even get Christians to decide whether or not a human being is a baby. A baby is a human being at the moment of conception. We can't even get the church to agree on that, right? Sentient, a being or person that has the faculty of perception. Perception. Huh. Do you think an unborn baby perceives he's not in his mommy's womb anymore? Think he perceives that? But at what point, if you started poking in the womb, would the baby perceive something's going on? You know, they say that little children hear music. They respond to music. They respond. Sometimes little unborn babies, why, they get distraught when mommy's going through a emotional crisis. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're sentiency. I don't know how I got on this other than it just, the religious world, for some reason, has washed its hands of everything in the natural realm. We've washed our hands of everything as if we're not supposed to be doing anything about it. And we wake up and we look around and the world is lawless. How did the world get lawless? Well, because the church got lawless. The church got so grace heavy. In other words, oh, Jesus will forgive you. Don't worry about it, brother. Jesus will forgive you. Instead of us every night, including me, hitting my knees and begging for mercy for some of the wicked thoughts I had and some of the wicked things I did, instead of me every night, Lord, just crying out, mercy, Lord, we just assume, oh, he'll forgive me. Ah, he'll forgive me. It's all right. It's under the blood, brother. It's all right. And so sin became cavalier. Cavalier. What's that? That's a good word to look up. Cavalier. Cavalier. Sin somewhere along the line became cavalier. Spencer, look that up. Cavalier. And all of a sudden we look around. C-A-V-A-L-I-E-R there. Cavalier. What is cavalier? Gay, sprightly. Gay, sprightly, walk, brave, generous, haughty, disdainful. Cavalier, man, ain't no big deal. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. And so we look around and we have a cabal of unrighteous people in authority ruling the world, a president of the United States that everyone in Washington, D.C. knows and knew has dementia and nobody does anything about it. Somebody give me an amen. They all know it. They weren't surprised. None of them were surprised. Morning Joe wasn't surprised. Come on. Nobody does anything about it. Why? Well, just pray for him, brother. Just pray for him. And now a guy who is dementia laden has his finger on the nuclear button. Except he doesn't, does he? Because he's not really running the government. He isn't really running it. But see, it doesn't bother us. Doesn't bother us. Doesn't bother Christians, doesn't bother pastors, doesn't bother anything, that everybody here is in great danger because the man running the government is incompetent. Except maybe he's not the man running the government. That's even worse, isn't it? If somebody else is running the government and we don't know it, let me ask you this. Is there anybody who does know it? Do any of those 535 elected officials in Washington, D.C. know that there is a man behind the curtain running the government? And they're not saying it? You mean to tell me Obama's still running the government and the Republicans aren't exposing it, aren't standing up and screaming out, this is what's going on? The left is lawless and the right is okay with the lawlessness. Somebody say amen, so I know I got one friend out there, right?
Amen.
So we can complain we want to all about Republicans, Democrats. No. No, folks, the problem is us. We all know, everybody watching this right now knows that that guy sitting in the White House is not the president of the United States. Now, when you go to church on Sunday, should that be a topic of conversation? Should the pastor stand in the pulpit and say, folks, we got us a real problem here? We got a guy who's masquerading as president of the United States. It's clear that. Did you guys ever have a booger hanging out your nose when you were talking to everybody and you didn't know it? And then after you were done, you went looked in the mirror and, or your wife comes up and says, honey, you should wipe your nose. You're like, well, Joe Biden's got a booger hanging out his nose. Ain't nobody will wipe it. No, nobody will wipe it. We just act like it, like that booger ain't hanging out of his nose. Huh? Really? Really? And whose job is it to contend for truth? And why won't we? So I'm watching all this stuff that's going on. We had a great show. I got a lot of stuff stacked up here. I got to get this off my chest. All that great stuff that we talked about yesterday, all these victories you're having, and the church still slumbering along. See, the Southern Baptist Convention, which I believe is the largest Christian organization in the world, I think, the Southern Baptist Convention. Has anybody seen a proclamation from them that it's time to repost the Ten Commandments? Has anybody seen a proclamation from the Southern Baptist Convention that it's time to reestablish the teaching of Jesus in our schools? Has anybody seen that from the Southern Baptist Convention? If I have, I've missed it. Huh? We don't even know how to jump on the bandwagon anymore. The nation is so ripe for this, so ripe for it. Are any of our religious, is your pastor going to get in the pulpit this Sunday and say, folks, I care about our local community. Let's all go to our local community. Let's go to city council and let's get the Ten Commandments put back in. Wait a minute. Ten Commandments isn't even hanging in your church. There's a punch. It ain't even hanging in your church. And you want it in the courthouse. How many people sitting in your church can recite the Ten Commandments, you suppose? Right? Oh, yeah. So we've got, I don't know where this rant came from. It's deserved. As we look around and see how lawless the entire Christian world ought to be in an uproar over the fact that we have an imposter as president of the United States. Are they? No. You know what our solution is? Oh, we need to pray for Biden. Pray for him? What are you talking about? He's got his finger on the nuclear button. Somebody does. And if it's not him, who does? And I'd kind of like to know. We don't care. We don't care, right? Murder babies, cut off dingers. Indoctrinate our kids in poison. It don't matter. Don't mean nothing. Then we got a guy like Pastor Dale Socia, who just got home from being up here and being up in New York, just finally got home, got his feet down on the ground. And he jumped in his car and he drove back to Tennessee because the Tennessee 10 are being sentenced the next couple days. Yeah, Tennessee 10, who did nothing more than show up outside of an abortion clinic to plead with people to stop murdering children and the police arrest the rescuers. The silence of the church. Look, folks, are you looking at me? The church ain't pro-life. Oh, they put a bumper sticker on their car. I vote pro-life. They put a bumper sticker on there. But I bet 90% of them ain't never done anything out actively to rescue unborn children. No way. Why? Because they believe that the government overrules the government of God. So the Supreme Court said there's a right to an abortion. They don't care that God called it murder. They don't care. And so they don't care that evil men have crept in unaware and that they are dictating the foundational principles of our culture. And the foundational principles of our culture is my body, my choice, the hell with the baby. That is the law of the land in America. Even though the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, they're still murdering babies. They're still murdering babies. And you can go, folks, you can get all the people you want to, and you can put it on the ballot, and you can go vote, and you can vote that it's okay to murder babies, and it ain't okay to murder babies. It ain't okay. I don't care what the vote is. It's never okay to take an innocent life. Ever.
Amen.
So Dale, what's going on down there in Tennessee? I assume he's in.
I'm here, Coach.
Hanging in the room. Dale, first of all, give me a big amen.
Glory, brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate your stand over this year. You're not just a man of your word. You're a doer of your word.
I try to.
Amen. That's what I do know. So obviously we had the rally last night, the first rally. We'll have a rally tonight. But today there's only four people that'll be sentenced here in the next 2 days.
Dale, help me out here. What are they being sentenced for, Dale, again?
Two acts of face violation. One of them is face violation,
meaning they went and tried to prevent the murder of children. Is that what they tried to do, Dale?
Well, Coach, after the show, we're going to talk a little bit. I spoke with my friend, my FBI, former FBI attorney friend, for 2 hours on the ride up here. Do you remember that thing we were talking about? Use Goliath's sword against him.
Yes, sir.
There is a caveat, use Goliath's sword against him in these cases. It's incredible. It blew both of us away. It literally almost made me pull off the side of the road. But anyway, so we'll talk about that later. So, so what's happening today? Paul Vaughn will be sentenced at.
This is a man who tried to rescue a baby that was being murdered by a doctor. That's what Paul Vaughn did.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Actually, peacefully, protesting. You know, proclaiming. And so at 2 o'clock today.
Interposed. In other words, he tried to put himself between the doctor and the baby to save the baby. He interposed on behalf of the baby.
We have to ask ourselves, Coach, if we were walking down the street and we seen a man with a 2x4 and he started beating a baby in a stroller, would we do anything, or would we close our eyes and walk away? These guys see the crime, and they do what our law calls to be the Good Samaritan Act, and they do that, and then they are charged.
That's right.
So today, Paul Vaughn will face his sentencing, because today is a sentencing. They've all been found guilty. Then tomorrow, Cal Zastro.
Found guilty of trying to save an unborn child. He was found guilty of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Yes.
So him?
Yeah.
Paul Zastro. Yeah. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
So Paul Vaughn. Okay, Paul Vaughn today. Paul Vaughn today. So we're all, brother, there was probably 300-400 people at the rally last night. We will be at the courthouse today at 2 o'clock, his sentencing. That's the only sentencing today. Tomorrow, Cal Zastro, Coleman Boyd. Remember, Coleman was with us that morning. And then Dennis Green.
What are they facing for having rescued?
They are all facing up to the 11 years, one on the face and one on the, obviously the other face, which is, you know, the conspiring act. So, each one does face 11 years, and we'll see. So those are the four that would be sentenced in the next 2 days. Chet Gallagher and Heather Ardones was postponed to September due to the case up in Michigan. The lesser charges, Eva Zastro, James Zastro, and two other ones, their sentencing comes at the end of the month, July 30th, and those are all lesser charges.
Hey, Dale, just curious. Cal, Coleman Boyd, Eva Edel, did these people go in and, like, did they take clubs in and beat up on doctors and beat up on police officers and beat up and tie up women going into murder? Is that what they did? Did they break windows, Dale, and throw knockout headlights in cars and bus? Is that what they did trying to rescue these babies, Dale?
No, that's only the BLM and the Antifas, and that's okay to do, but you cannot peacefully go in and pray, sit and plead with women that they need not to murder their babies. If you do
wait a minute, Dale, hang on. I got to paint a picture. Dale, I got to paint a picture here. So Eva Edel, who is 80 some years old, she actually went in there and sat down and read scriptures and begged with women not to murder their babies. That's what she did, Dale.
Yeah, in the hallway, Coach. They weren't even inside the clinic. They weren't even inside the clinic. They were in the hallways.
And for that, she's facing 10 years in jail for having done that?
No. She's facing the lesser charges, maximum 1 year.
Okay.
Hers is a misdemeanor phase.
So Cal Zastro and Coleman Boyd and those guys, they must have tackled women and tied them up then and assaulted doctors, cut off their hands. Is that what they did, Dale?
Yeah, that's the conspiracy, which is foolishness in itself. And I'm promising you, Coach, the caveat is that the sword of Goliath is about to be used against Goliath.
Amen. I believe that. Hey, Dale, how many uh, How many pastors have come to their defense? There's like a whole bunch of churches out there pleading with them. Is like it hard to get a ticket maybe to get in? There's so many people there protecting and defending these people for their nothing more than their caring heart, their willingness to lay down their life. Bunch of people down there, Dale, like maybe thousands, just 10,000 around there.
I'll join in on your sarcasm. We're still waiting for Jesse and Joel and Kenneth Copeland to fly in.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. Amen. Dale, you're a wonderful guy. Yes.
Hey, Coach. On the other hand, over here in Columbus at Planned Parenthood, one of the security guards slapped around one of the sidewalk counselors, Gabriel, and they didn't file charges against him.
Well, because he's a bad guy. He wants to save babies. He wants to take away a woman's right to choose. He's a bad guy. Women have a right to choose murder, you know. They do have this right, even though the Supreme Court said, no, they don't. Right. So, hey, friends, my sarcasm's dripping, I understand, right? Now, somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. Is the church not supposed to be involved in this injustice? Is the church, rescue the women and orphans in their time of need, right? Isn't that, Dale, doesn't that say that somewhere in the scripture? The pure and undefiled religion. Look that up for me real quick, Spencer. Pure and undefiled religion.
Pure and undefiled religion.
Right? Hang on, folks. I hope you're not going to feel comfortable at the end of the day. What is pure and undefiled religion? James. But that'd be New Testament. Wait a minute. That'd be New Testament. What? James 1:28. Isn't that what it was? Pure religion. Stop a minute. I hate pulling things out of context. Let's go back and begin at 24. I don't know. Okay, let's start at 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, looking in the mirror. For he sees himself and he looks good, except he's got a booger hanging out his nose. He doesn't know it. And he walks away and he forgets who he is. He looks good in the mirror, but when he walks away, he forgets what he looked like in the mirror. Looked real religious, real Christian. But 25 says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and stays there in that perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What? What works? No, we don't do works. He'll be blessed by his works. What? But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth in, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What? Somebody get a hold of us. Just get a hold of James. He doesn't understand. We're not supposed to do works. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be a religious, bridleth not his tongue. In other words, oh my goodness. Doesn't know when to speak and when not to speak. That's what it means to bridle with your tongue. It doesn't mean not to speak. It's knowing when to speak and when not to speak and how to speak. And if any man among you seems to be religious and can't control his own tongue, but deceives his own heart, that guy ain't a Christian. Paraphrasing. Because pure religion and undefiled. Better look up that word, Spencer. Better look up undefiled. Undefiled. Pure religion and undefiled. Not polluted. Not vitiated. Not wavering. All right, go back. Pure religion and not wavering before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, that would be the abortion children, and the widows, that would be the women who are mothering a child without a father, that would be a widow, in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So real religion would be out to protect that woman who made a mistake and had sex, unprotected sex, whatever that word even means. She got pregnant, and now she's going to go commit a murder. And why is she going to go commit a murder? Because she allowed an unprincipled man to violate her most private parts. And he is taking no responsibility for it. And the reason he's taking no responsibility for it is because the world has convinced the woman that it's her body and it's her choice. And she's been dumb enough to believe it. Right? So our job, Calzastro's job, Coleman Boyd's job, Eva Edel's job is to what? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. They have come to the abortion clinic to murder their own child. That's an affliction. That's an affliction. And our job is to visit them, help them. I wonder how many of you still go to your wonderful church, have a pro-life ministry, not where you just give diapers. How about where you go earnestly contend for the life of those children? And the devil wants those babies dead so badly that when you show up to protect them, the devil's going to throw you in jail. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And see, we don't even understand spiritual warfare to the point that the average person could not explain what I just explained there. Right? We have substituted the law as interpreted by the Supreme Court or voted on by the people to override the law of God. And churchmen, as Matt Twella would say, remain silent. Remain silent. Come on in, Roger.
Dave, a question that has been kind of on my mind as this topic is counting the cost, okay? I am going to assume that these individuals that were arrested understood that this could possibly happen.
Yes.
Not saying it's right. I'm not supportive of it. I'm not saying they broke the laws and send them to jail. But I think of the scripture about counting the cost. And I think this is probably a good example, a great example, for all of us. We're entering into a time that we better understand the counting of the costs of our actions. Because I think this situation, as unjust as it is, the counting of the cost is imprisonment. And as we or you or us become more active challenging these things until there's a change, there's a cost to be counted for our actions that we ain't going to like sometimes. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and I've already counted that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to make sense for this. But as we venture out, you know, I think of the 12 disciples. I tend to look at them a lot as far as their life and expectations. I'm going to assume at some time they understood the cost of proclaiming the gospel very well could lead to their death. So I don't know. That just has been kind of on my mind, this idea of are we weighing and counting the cost? And I think some of these individuals who are being sentenced probably understood this might be the cost for what we are doing.
I think they all did, Roger. I think they all did.
And I'm not saying they wanted it or they voluntarily went forward. But it's hard for me to think that they did not scripturally understand they're going down a road that the cost could be great for the cause of Christ and to save babies.
Right. Yes, and it's the same cost for all of us, right? And so Jesus told us to lay down our lives. He said, we're dead men. So the life I now live, it's your life, Lord. It ain't my life anymore. And if you put me in jail, you'll be there with me. And if I'll never forget what Flip Benham said when they were going to throw him in jail after one of his escapades, protecting unborn children. I'll never forget the the television reporter was asking, what do you think, Reverend Flip Benham? What do you think about what you're going into the court here? What do you expect? He says, well, he said, I'm going to find out here in a few minutes whether or not the Lord's putting me in jail ministry. Huh? I mean, hey, folks, can I tell you, we love ourselves way too much. We love ourselves far more than those unborn children. Well, oh, my
God. If I may.
It ain't even close. Go ahead, Dale.
If I may. Yeah, the more eternal question needs to be asked of the believer. Have we counted the cost of doing nothing? There's five talents, and I know that you're demanding, and so I hid it in the ground, and I did nothing. And the Lord said on that day, you wicked, wicked servant, take that which is given of him, this gift that's given for us to do something, and cast him into outer darkness. See, we believe in self-preservation.
We do.
And these guys, I want to tell you something. They go, and I can't imagine their timidity, but the joy of the Lord is with them. But they considered that cost decades ago.
The cost is
God has said, thou shalt not murder, and to destroy the image bearer of God. These men stand in the interposition, Coach, for us. That God would stab off his wrath against this nation for this abomination, and we don't even realize it.
You know something? Their commitment to Christ is far deeper than most of us, far deeper. They do love their neighbor as their self. They do love their neighbor as themselves. We mouth it. They're willing to. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. It'd be nice to erase that one out of there, wouldn't it? It'd be really nice if we could just somehow erase that. And see, that applies to going to school board meetings and city council meetings and standing up and being laughed at. It counts all this, right? You got to lay it down, folks. You got to lay it down. And we're teaching the opposite gospel. We're teaching the life enhancement, self-affirming gospel rather than the dying to ourselves gospel. Judah.
Yeah, Coach, I think there's a point that Christians in their walk, they get to what's called the point of no return. What does that mean? It means they love to where fear is cast out. There's no more fear. You're not fear of consequences. You're not fearful of what's going to happen. You know, John 15:13, you know, it says, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for another man.
Amen.
You know, you get a chance to look into these things. As we lay down our lives for other people, we got to say, what is the ultimate game here? What are we trying to accomplish?
That's right.
And ultimately, what's the Bible say about fear? You know, cast all fear away.
Mm-hmm.
And for people not to understand that, you know what? Again, it's this fine line. For those people who've maybe had a life and death experience, you realize your time's short here. Why play defense? Go on offense. Serve the King of Kings, because his angels will concern you and watch over you in all his ways. His promises are there every time.
I commend them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I commend the people for standing up. You know, and if you're going to be a martyr, you know what? Your heart's in the right place. But yeah, you always have to count the cost.
I was thinking of my dad yesterday. My dad, wondering what he would think of me. My dad was born in 1919. And I hate to tell you this, I don't remember when he died. Early 2000s, my dad passed away. And, you know, you all look at your own little children and you wonder what they're going to be when they grow up. Right? What are you going to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
My dad would have never have imagined that I would be what I am when I grew up. I can promise you that, right? But at the same time, when I think about my dad, he ran his race. It's over. It's done, baby. It's done. All the good, all the bad, it's done. Life's but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. But we don't know what's on the other side. But boy, we sure want to cling to this one, don't we? We sure want to cling to this one. You know how you get immoralized? You know how you get a statue built after you? You want to live forever? Do something great. for those who can't defend themselves. There'll be a statue built to you. Go ahead, Jack. Come on in.
Oh, I was just going to say your frustration level, Coach, is that the Tennessee 10 would not have been arrested if they were the Tennessee 300.
No, that's exactly true.
And that's why we fail. And that's the Jeff Kleins going in there, one or two of you. That's why we fail, because there's just not enough. There's just not enough care. That assistant district attorney just flat out told me, "I'm going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law there's enough of you doing the same thing."
That's right. And it ain't even the law anyway. All right, I'm switching gears. It's 7:41. I'm switching gears because we have new people tuning in every day, and they don't have any idea. They don't have any idea what we do here. They don't have any idea. And I was thinking of it this morning. Pull up number two for me. May 26th, 2019. That'd be a long time ago. How many of you out there know that we went to Hillary's house? How many of you know? We've been doing this a while. And we went to Hillary's house, hundreds of us, at the Memorial Day parade. That'd have been right. What date is it? Did I tell you? May 26th is Memorial Day weekend. Bill Clinton marched in it. Hillary marched in it. And we went and we called heaven down on Hillary Clinton in Chappaqua, New York. And you can say what you want to, friends. From that day till this day, Hillary Clinton's been a non-entity in American political world. Now, she may be doing stuff behind the scenes. Ain't nobody talking about Hillary being president of the United States. Can I tell you why? Because Randy Lunsford went there and he put his hands and feet on the threshold of 15 Old House Lane, Chappaqua, New York, and prayed that kingdom down over Hillary Clinton. That demonic cover, Randy Lunsford prayed it down.
Boom.
Folks, this goes back to what we're doing with staking. We didn't even know what the heck we were doing. By the way, they're in a black suit. That's Doug Hagman. Doug Hagman even joined us. Scroll down here, Spencer, because people don't know what we do, what we've done. Just go to the next picture. What do we got there? There's locker up. We didn't get justice, but we demanded it. There we are outside Hillary's house, 15 Old House Lane. Jack, it isn't just one or two of us, because they would have arrested us, wouldn't they? There's old Bob Evans holding an American flag. What? Yeah, just people just taking it to the streets. No guns, no bullets, no cannons, nothing. We just stood and we see how they're protecting her? Huh? Go to the next picture. Say, folks, Coach, I didn't know you did. Oh, you didn't? You're Bobby Lee giving them heaven. Go to the next one. Now back to the beginning. On that Facebook page, I don't know if you can pull that whole Facebook page up or not. That's called Equal Justice Tour. The Equal Justice Tour on Facebook. Folks, we've been doing this for how long we've been doing this? Going out and actually contending for the faith, actually putting our feet down. There it is. Thank you. It started out, indict Hillary for her crimes, the equaljusticetour.com. Go scroll on down, Spence. See what we come up. There's some other good stuff that we did. All Tractor Supply. I'll get back to that. Keep going. Because I've been posting on here regularly. Get down bottom years and years ago. Okay, see what pops up here, man. Nowadays, exposing evil is considered evil itself, right? Hillary Clinton, a career criminal, exposing Hillary. Wasn't just Hillary, but all that stuff, all the wicked stuff. What? Yeah, we've been out doing this kind of stuff. What? What if the church had all got involved? What if we'd send 10,000 people to Chappaqua, New York, and demanded Hillary be arrested? Huh? Oh, yeah. So, folks, we've been doing this for a while. We've been doing it for a while. We are the church. We are, as Chad Estes would say, we pick up where the church left off. And I know, want you to know this. Every time we go, we know we might be in trouble. Every time we go, we know we might be arrested. Every time we go, we know we might be spit on. Every time we go, we know we might have a bucket of whatever thrown on top of us. Every time we go, we know we might be physically harmed. Every time we go. Because why? If we stay home, If the church stays home, evil thrives unopposed. And that's where all this stuff grew out. All the stuff that Randy's doing with the staking and what Jeff Klein, I could go, well, as soon as I start talking about it, I forget, I leave people off. Folks, there's stuff going on everywhere because here at Coach Dave Live, we train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. That is what we do. It's more than just to come in here every day, have church, and talk about the bad guys and how it's more than that. It's more than that. I know this, that boots on the ground matter. Boots on the ground matter. You show up, it matters. You show up alone, you get arrested. You show up with 10,000, they back off. How many Christians do you think there are in America? How many Christians in America are sick and tired of the lying, cheating government? Well, we went and called it out. Hey, Spencer, scroll down there a little bit more. It's November 23rd, 2020. Scroll on down. That's a year later from when we went to Hillary's house. We went to Biden's house. We went to Obama's house. Huh? Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. All the truth is there, folks. All of it's there. Everything that they did is posted here. Clinton. What? Anybody heard from Hillary Clinton lately? How come her name's not being mentioned to be president of the United States? I'll tell you why. Because Randy went and broke that prophetic covering over the top of Hillary Clinton. When he showed up and he put his hands on top of the gate and his feet under the gate. Are you out there, Randy? Are you out there, Randy?
Coach, I think she's going to paint her face one more time. I believe, Coach, she's going to paint her face just like Jezebel did one more time before she's totally thrown over the wall, before the Clinton Foundation is totally gone, Coach. There's going to be one last attempt, and it may be this fall. It may be this time. I don't know. But it's over, Coach. That's it. We either believe it or we don't. We either believe what we're doing is effective, and if it is prophetic, Coach, it doesn't have to happen immediately. It has to happen in God's timing. And we believe it, Coach.
We believe it, man. Hey, Randy, here's a good question, because you know me, I'm always the same way. How many pastors with us are you think? See, the pastors are sitting in the churches calling us names. Oh, they're going to get all of us in trouble. There's Doug Hagman on his knee. Huh? Calling, tearing those kingdoms down. Friends, we had been to Hillary's house. I could tell you that whole story. We went to Hillary's house, and we were off going to get an ice cream cone or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And Randy Lunsford, who I hardly knew, came back to me. There he stands. Came back to me, says, Coach, I got to go back. Hold that right there. There's Randy holding the camera. I said, what? He says, yeah, Coach, I got to go back. The Lord told me to do something, and I didn't do it. And I said, well, what did he tell you to do, Randy? He said he told me to go down and put my hands on the threshold and pray that thing down. I said, God, Randy, those cops are out there waiting. And what'd you do, Randy? Tell us what you did, Randy.
Well, when Coach Norm and Mike Blake and I went, we left from the gas station, Coach, where we talked. And you said, well, go do it. Then go what you need to do. I told you, just trust me, Coach. You didn't really know me. I said, just trust me. Nothing violent. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I just needed to say something, do something. Well, on the way up there, it was quiet, Coach. And finally, Norm goes, hey, Randy, you know they kill people, the Clintons. You know that, right? I said, yeah, I do. But I said, I got to. I think I said, Coach or Norm, I fear God more than I fear them. And so I did it. I just did what the spoke what he gave me, Coach. This was prophetic. Now, I know some people think that's too far out there, but it's not. It's not. It's Coach, it's the same as if God spoke to you or Don Voss and he said something to you and you said, okay, I'll do it. You believed it.
Time out, Randy. The Bible is full of stories of men who God told them to go do something crazy, and they went and did it, and they're written of in the Bible. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach Dale. Dale's in Tennessee because he believes God's put him there to speak or to stand or to do something. That is being prophetic. Prophetic means action. It means you're going to obey God in the moment, in your time, in your little life, and you're going to be willing to lay your life down if necessary, whatever that means. So coach, so I just got out and I said, let me out here. You guys just pull over. That there was a couple of those black cruisers there, and you know, who Secret Service, whoever it was. And I just didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew I had to get to that gate, coach. Well,
so you pulled into the cul-de-sac, folks. She lived in a cul-de-sac. And the regular,
yeah, and that black, big black truck cruiser, dark windows, all it's backed up to the gate. And there's another one sitting over there off to the side. But I just got out and I just thought, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do here. So I just got my phone and took, like, I was taking pictures, and I just, you know, was just like a stupid tourist, and just started walking by that truck. And here come the window down on the driver's seat. And there was a couple of guys sitting there in the front seat, and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just taking some pictures here. You know, I know Hillary and Clinton's live right up there. And I said, I'm just wanting to just take some pictures. I said, I tell you, would it be all right if I just walk up there to the gate? And he looked me from head to toe, coach. He really summed me up. And he just sat there a minute. And he just said, well, okay. Just don't do anything stupid.
Randy, didn't he tell you to knock yourself out? Didn't he tell you that?
Well, he probably wanted to, coach. But, yep. You know, I think back to Kevin praying, you know, Randy, he didn't even know me. I didn't even know Kevin from New Hampshire. He just prayed, he prayed over me. He said, may the favor of God rest on you. That was what his prayer, God gave him that. And so I just went up there, coach, just like you or anybody else, a normal person. And I knew I had a short time. I didn't want to prolong it. So I just spoke what God gave me. And I did what I believed he said to do. Touch the doorpost, touch the post, put your feet on the threshold, and I will tear down this empire. I will tear down this house. I will overthrow it. I will take it off the map. I will get rid of it. It's evil. That's what God was wanting to do. All he needed was somebody that would trust him enough to go say something. And I think, coach, looking back now, I was pretty green. And I probably wouldn't have done it any different now. But coach, you just have to obey God wherever you're at. You know, God tells Betty, go stand on the corner with the sign. Go stand on the corner with the sign. This is real, coach. We got to believe this is real or we won't do anything.
Amen.
So when evil's here, coach, the way we take evil out is we displace it. Light comes in. That's you and me, coach. That's our group. We move into that stronghold, that area, or that place, the Guidestones or courthouse, and we move into that space and we say, God says, this is what I want you to say. And we speak God's word. We speak his will on the earth with our feet on the ground. And coach, when we do that, something happens. You can't do it sitting at home on your sofa. You can pray, but it's not the same.
It's not.
The action part, God says, I'm going to honor your action because it becomes faith then, coach.
That's right, brother.
It's just talk until you get up and you follow God and you lay your body down there like those Tennessee 10 did. Until you lay your body there and you put yourself in that and you believe God enough to do that. Just read the Bible. All the people of faith in Hebrews 11, coach, were people who went and did something and they put their body, their life in jeopardy. And they said, I'm going to follow God. I fear him more than I fear anything else.
Amen, brother.
And when you get to that place, coach, God can use you. I don't care if you're just a dumb little concrete guy from Oklahoma or if you're a coach in Ohio or if you're Jeff Nell in Nevada, coach, anywhere, Benny in Brooklyn, coach. God can use you.
Amen.
He wants us to participate with him, coach. And this is how we do it, coach. God has raised you up. A little platform in Ohio, coach. A little platform that says, we'll follow you. We'll go to where nobody will go. And that's what we do, coach. And we have to keep doing it.
Would it be safe to say, Randy, that Hillary Clinton's political career ended that day?
I believe it, coach.
Now, hang on.
I believe it with all my heart. I believe it.
There's still life in the body. She still flopped around for a while, didn't she? But she never recovered from this moment. Never recovered from it, folks. Amen. Now, you can believe it or you cannot believe it. But I'm telling you, it happened. It happened. Hey, let me show you something here. Spencer, go. You see Ray's got that white shirt, pro-life sign, and then above it is a picture of a piece of paper, and then there's a picture beside. Next picture over. Next picture over. Boom. Hold that up. I got that one hanging in my room. There's Hillary. There's Bill Clinton. There's Hillary Clinton in the polka dots. Can you see him, Spencer? There's Hillary. There's Bill. There's Homo the Cuomo. Cuomo the Homo beside Bill. Nope. Oh, back over here to his right. There's Homo the Cuomo. And then standing over there, some fat guy holding a sign, red sign over the left. Clear to top, Spencer. Clear to top. Huh? Clear to there. There. You think that is? You know what that sign said? Probe Hillary. Probe Hillary. This was the Memorial Day parade in 2019, and Hillary Clinton has not been a national, not a real power ever since then. Now, this goes back to staking before staking was cool. Are you with me? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Come on in, Trent, quickly.
Yeah, Coach, I believe a simple man as any of us, as anybody out there, can tear down a nation, build up a nation, if God calls him and leads him in that direction.
To obey one is better man. Than to sacrifice. To obey one man, is better Coach. Than to sacrifice. One man. One man.
Amen.
Who will go? Who will send for me? It says in Isaiah. Who will I send? Who will go? And what did Isaiah say? Here I am, Lord.
Send me.
Here's Randy. Send Randy, Lord. Send Jeff Klein, Lord. Huh? Oh, yeah. Send Dave Allison, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Send Kevin, Lord. Huh? Send Julie, Lord. We send somebody? Joe Allen, come on in.
Yeah. Look at the reward from our obedience when we was there. What happened right after that? Coach, Sky High came to us. Or to you.
I hadn't even thought
about
that.
That's the rewards that we got for being obedient.
Amen. Amen. You know what else? Freaking Georgia Guidestones fell down. I was looking for that today. Oh, yeah. So I was talking to somebody the other day about it. They didn't even know what the Georgia Guidestones were. They had never heard of them. And we pulled down one of the most powerful demonic edifices in America. And most people don't even know it happened. They don't even know it happened. Why did it happen? Somewhere if I looked, I'd find the picture. When we went down there and we prayer walked it, and we did exactly what we always do and reclaimed that territory for the cause of Christ. And I was sitting here doing our show, and somebody sent me an email, Coach, look what happened. And I clicked on it, and the freaking Georgia Guidestones blew up. They don't know what blew them up. I know what blew them up. We showed up, we prayer walked them, and we called them down. And whether it was lightning, whether it was a bomb, I don't care what it was, they came down. Coincidence, call coincidence if you want to. Do you guys have any idea what the church could do if they would get involved? You understand that we could have the sexual degenerates running for the woods if the church ever showed up and quit worrying about being so nice to each other and started loving the Lord more than they love people. We love the Lord more than we love people. Boom. See, if we cut off that demonic homosexual, transgender agenda, millions of children would be rescued. And we don't understand it. We're worried about the homo, whether or not he's accepted and tolerant and diverse. And in the meantime, they're leading millions of children to hell. Church doesn't care. We don't care. Come on in, Kevin.
Dave, are you able to take the picture that I just sent to your phone, give it to the producer, have him put it on the screen?
I don't know. We'll see here. I can do a lot of things.
See if you can do that. This is probably the most powerful picture.
I just played that. Right. I had that one up there. I had it up there.
Oh, you did? Okay. Of us all taking a knee with Doug Hagman. That's where the power is, right there, because we submit to the Lord's authority, and he is our power. I'll tell you, that's where, and that is a complete opposite of the people that we're up against.
No, listen, not only did we take his authority, we walked in his authority. Randy got in his car and drove back in the face of the FBI and said, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. And the Lord stopped the mouths of the lions so Randy could do what the Lord called him to do. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. You can go sit in Uncle Billy Bob's church and let him tell you what a great church they have. The reality of it is they are killing us, killing our posterity, killing innocent people all around us. And the church doesn't want anything to do with it. don't want anything to do with it. We'll be out of here soon. I had to say it. Oh, I got so much stuff I didn't even get to today. God, what a difference we could make by the tens of thousands if we just showed up. See you. See you tomorrow.